With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.
Rank 40 something wide receivers. It's May 2nd. We're crazy because you're crazy. You're already drafting on Underdog Basketball. We love you for it. And because of that, they're soft ADPs. Hayden Winks has all of his rankings in the description down below to help you beat them. How you feeling?
Feeling good. Best ball is flying off the shelves right now, number one in the industry by a mile. And what I'm using today for my rankings are the season long Pick'em projections also in there. And let me just warn you guys, what the Pick'em lobby is saying is not exactly what the best ball streets are saying. Ooh. Good news. You guys can go to Underdog and go take some hires, take some lowers, or go draft these guys. Mm-hmm. Call me crazy. But somebody's wrong on the app, and you can go take it to your advantage. So I just wanted to throw out the season-long Pick'em stuff because they're helping me get deep into the rankings early in May.
Okay, let's waste no time. People are on the edge of their seats, Hayden. Let's kick things off with the first tier. How about the first four names, okay? CeeDee Lamb, Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, and Tyreek Hill. We're going to talk about every single one of these names. That would take a three-hour video. Instead, we're going to pick out one or two or three in each tier. I know you wanted to call attention to the man himself, Justin Jefferson, of this group.
So in the first four games, averaged 22 fantasy points with Kirk Cousins, and then comes back from week 15 through 18 with, I mean, just disastrous quarterback play, still averages 18 points.
Yeah.
So, I mean, how quarterback proof can you get there? We're unsure how healthy T.J. Hockenson is going to be. I personally feel pretty comfortable with J.J. McCarthy, and I think that Sam Darnold, there's something about the NFL that loves Sam Darnold. So I don't think that the quarterback play is going to be as bad as it was last season when Justin Jefferson was going crazy. So this is the top four, like everyone knows it.
But you have them in slightly different order than people are drafting them as of right now. Christian McCaffrey is the 101, but after that, it's CeeDee Lamb, Tyreek Hill, Ja'Marr Chase, and then Justin Jefferson. So even having him as the third overall player, but being drafted as the fifth overall player, I think is a pretty stark difference at the top of drafts.
Yeah.
You know what to do, though. If you're in the top five, kind of mix and mingle and flex your portfolio a little bit. Okay. Next grouping, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Puka Nacua, and A.J. Brown. Can I talk a little bit about A.J.B.?
Let's
I brought up Saquon Barkley in the running back rankings video. Hopefully you all watched that one. Kellen Moore has created fantasy monsters in the last two seasons. You know, CeeDee Lamb has that inside-outside threat to take advantage of mismatches, and Kellen Moore identified that. Tons of success in 2022. Then an aging Keenan Allen was the wide receiver three overall in points per game last season with that inside-outside versatility. Now, I totally understand that A.J. Brown's quarterback in Jalen Hurts is very different than Dak Prescott or Justin Herbert, and he has not done as great of a job attacking the middle of the field or especially towards the end of last season having a plan versus pressure. But to me, this is where Keenan or Kellen Moore is going to be such a major factor for the Philadelphia Eagles this year. We've already seen and heard Nick Sirianni say this is going to be Kellen Moore's offense. They went in the tank last year offensively. They could not function when an extra rusher was free. And I think Kellen Moore still has a lot of juice left as a play caller, and I think he's going to make A.J. Brown continue to be a focal point of this offense.
I think there's some upside hidden in there too. If the tush push isn't as effective and they start throwing the ball a little bit more in the red zone, I think that would help A.J. Brown out even more. So it was a tale of two halves last year. Remember, first 9 weeks of the season averaged 19 fantasy points.
Yep.
The last games of the year for A.J. Brown, 9. So yeah. It was a huge tale of two halves, and that's, I think, mostly an offensive coordinator stat, if you had to ask me.
Well, but it was an entire Eagles organization thing, too. And their entire offseason has been directed towards fixing how embarrassing the final stretch and the playoffs were for them. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't just on defense, you know, drafting corners, fixing the back seven. It has also been on the offensive side of the ball. And I think A.J. Brown's going to be the biggest beneficiary of all that.
Yep.
Anyone else, or should we move on?
I feel like we know who all these guys are. I believe in Puka, by the way. Like, yeah. Some people are going to be skeptical, one-year wonder and stuff. Like, that dude was a legit baller out there.
Throw those people in a locker. Okay.
Please.
Next, Garrett Wilson in tier two. Brandon Ayuk, my guy. Mike Evans and Davante Adams. Let's start with that Forsman. Can I bring up Garrett Wilson just for a quick moment?
Yes.
Because I think he's on that fringe of tier one to tier two. We were robbed of an Aaron Rodgers to an alpha wide receiver season last year. Watching him work with a wide receiver one, a true wide receiver one, in tight red zone stuff is one of the like most beautiful sights in football. And we saw glimpses of it in like their one preseason game together. And I'm still like reimagining those moments, replaying them in my head. The Davante Adams-esque usage of no, check, 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 get rid of the play. And hey, Garrett Wilson, you have a one-on-one, just route him up and win the end zone. And I think we're going to get a whole bunch of that in 2024.
Yeah, the only difference why he's not up is we haven't seen him as the wide receiver one in fantasy. But if you had to guess who graduates to that class, it would be him. I did want to mention, though, real quick, the round two wide receivers right now in Underdog. I mean, it is uncertainty out there. Drake London's up there. Marvin Harrison Jr. is up there. Malik Nabers is up there. We are pretending that these guys are second round picks. I like a lot of the running backs in that spot. I also like some of the guys that I've seen do it a little bit, like Mike Evans, who finished 12th overall last season. He had got more money from the Bucks. I'm not expecting Mike Evans to have the same exact season as he did last year, but man, did he look just as good as he had previously. And then The hidden upside with Brandon Ayuk to me is if Deebo Samuel gets traded, I'll put it at like 33% chance that it happens. There's cap reasons why the 49ers want to make that happen. But also, Deebo Samuel's missed time. George Kittle's missed time. Those guys have taken a lot of big hits. They're a little bit on the older side for their position. And Brandon Ayuk, to me, is the differentiator in that offense working down the field. So if something happens and there's more passing volume, I think that Brandon Ayuk is like this close to being a consistent wide receiver one, kind of boom busty because of target volume. But I think there's a chance this year that he becomes the consistent wide receiver one that we've always known he could be.
The running back rankings video, we talked about that even after last year's record-setting mark, running backs are going even a round later this year. That means wide receivers are going earlier. In fact, I think of the top 19 picks, 13 of them are wide receivers in comparison to six running backs. So
it's wide receiver thirst out there.
It is still moving in that direction. Okay, let's close out this tier. Nico Collins, Drake London, Marvin Harrison Jr., DK Metcalf, and Jalen Waddle. I've seen all the graphics out there. People are very early on in their offseason content cycle, drafting the best wide receiver trio in the league. And the Houston Texans are the number one pick in that. And it's interesting. You have each wide receiver in basically a different tier of their own. Mm-hmm. Why so confident that Nico Collins should belong here versus the others?
Based off the tape last year, that Nico Collins was a top 10 wide receiver. And that was the first year of his prime. And he was a developmental guy going back to his college profile. And he has all the athletic traits of a top 5-ish wide receiver. So to me, he's on the ascend. I fully trust CJ Stroud. Steph Diggs is on the decline. Tank Dell is coming back from major injury and is an undersized guy. To me, Nico Collins is like a true alpha number one wide receiver. No doubts about it. And there's a chance that he has another leg up going into the next year of his prime. So to me, this thing's only going one direction. And he, to me, looked like one of the best wide receivers in the league last year.
I can't wait for DK Metcalf to be in Ryan Grubb's offense.
Yes.
After watching it last season, I mean,
he's going to ball.
He's going to ball out. I cannot wait to see that happen.
Before we move on from this tier, this is one of the things I was talking about the intro to the show, talking about the Underdog Pick'em lobby. Mike Evans in Underdog Pick'em, 1,125 yards, 9.5 touchdowns. That's our higher lower on him. Marvin Harrison Jr. is at 1,000 flat and 7.5. So we're talking about two touchdowns different, over 100 yards different. Right now, they're in two different tiers on the Underdog Pick'em or an Underdog for best ball. So one of those things is incorrect. you guys can go be the judge there, but I'm going to trust the guys over on the Pick'em Lobby.
Love that. Producer Weez, if you could flash the map on the screen right now of every single state that can play best ball on Underdog Fantasy. As you can see, it's the vast majority. I know some of you are watching this right now, sitting at home, being in a yellow state and saying, gosh, I've heard these guys talk about best ball, how it's the best version of fantasy football. All you do is draft. And that is it. But I've never tried it. Change that right now. Now is the time to do so. Click the link in the description down below or use promo code THESHOW, all one word, and we'll throw some money back at you when you sign up for the first time. Again, try it in May. You'll want to keep trying it. It really is one of the funnest exercises that you can do while outside at the grill or on a walk with a dog while your girl is shopping at the mall, any of that stuff.
Yep.
It passes the time. Time goes by at 3x speed when you're drafting an underdog.
DK Metcalf also projected higher than Marvin Harrison Jr. in the Pick'em Lobby.
Okay, let's keep it moving. Next tier begins with Devontae Smith, Chris Olave, welcome back, Cooper Kupp, Amari Cooper, and DJ Moore. Kind of a weird, I think, five grouping here. Anyone you want to bring up?
Let's go with Amari Cooper. From week 8 on last year, the Browns were fourth in neutral pass rate. If we can get Deshaun Watson going, which I'm not expecting, but definitely within the range of outcomes, Amari Cooper is really set for another very productive year. And they were kind of underestimating what Amari's done. The last two seasons, he's finished 27th overall, 33rd overall. I mean, his ADP right now is 54th overall. So he's being drafted multiple rounds later than where he's finished previously. He's only 30. He's not 33 or something like that. He looks... I mean, did you guys watch the Joe Flacco games with Amari Cooper? He looked like the best player in the entire league over that stretch. And this is in the environment that we talk about where wide receivers are going earlier and earlier and earlier and earlier. And nobody wants to draft Amari Cooper, who's been a boom bust wide receiver too for multiple years in a row. And really nothing has really changed. I think like the addition of Jerry Jeudy's kind of whatever, but hopefully Deshaun Watson plays a little bit better than he did, but he also doesn't even have to. Amari Cooper's been very solid the entire time.
He's been one of the best trades in the NFL over the last few years. And if I'm reading over the cap correctly, I believe it's a contract year for him because he's got two void years after this. So we know what can happen with wide receivers and their contract
year. Money.
Try to get play for that cheddar because he has definitely deserved it. Okay.
Yep.
After this, we move on in the same tier to T. Higgins, Deebo Samuel, Malik Nabers. Should we stop it there or should we throw in Stefon Diggs as well?
I love Malik Nabers. Do not get me wrong. If you go, I almost put him as my wide receiver one in the class. He's going to be phenomenal for the Giants. But I do think we need to be somewhat realistic about what his chances are in fantasy as a rookie. For example, Underdog Pick'em Lobby, 875 receiving yards, 5.5 touchdowns. That's not worth the 25th overall pick where he's being drafted. Of course, he has a monstrous ceiling. You can go look at his explosive plays on LSU. Everyone knows that. But the path for him to get there in this Giants offense with, we don't even know who the quarterback's going to be between Drew Lock or Daniel Jones. And even if we did know it was one of the two of them, they're not very good. And the offensive line's not very good. And it's been a while since we've seen Daboll have a true number one wide receiver like Malik Nabers, who also is going to have to play on the outside. So Malik Nabers is going to be a superstar for the Giants. Does that mean he's going to be worth a second or third round pick in fantasy as a rookie? I'm not so sure. So unfortunately, I love Malik Nabers. I thought I was going to be higher on him, but we've gone completely nuts with the ranking on Malik Nabers. So I think this is more of where there's a 50% chance he finishes better than this instead of where you're drafting him now. There's only maybe a 10% chance that he finishes better.
Question, and I hate to bring this up because I drafted a lot of them last year and it didn't work out. Do you think that Cooper Kupp is just a potential landmine of where he's currently at in his career right now?
I can see it both ways. Obviously the injuries and stuff has been problematic for him, but there were still some stretches last year where Cooper Kupp was putting up some big numbers. So
it was all or nothing in some ways, because it was when he came back, he was the wide receiver 17, then the wide receiver 2. I'll actually flip this over to half point PPR. Yeah, wide receiver 12, then wide receiver 3. Then after that, it was 48, 76, 45, 87, 82. And there was this tiny little stretch, wide receiver 21, wide receiver 5, wide receiver 4, and then banged up again, wide receiver 42, wide receiver 28. So that is quite high variance for a player that we don't assume is high variance. And yes, you know, I'm sure it was very difficult at his age to come back from the hamstring issue that plagued him during training camp last year. Yep. How you put it, could go either way. Like, we could look back on this and Cooper Kupp should have been drafted as like a top 12 wide receiver. Right. Or we can look back on it and he shouldn't have been drafted as like a top 36 wide receiver.
But I think that's kind of what the wide receivers twos, this B tier that we're talking about. Like, I would rather shoot for the upside of one of these guys going off there. So, and I think all these guys have somewhat iffy floors.
Okay. Next tier begins with my post-hype favorite pick last year, Michael Pittman Jr. We continue on with George Pickens, Christian Kirk, Tank Dell, and Keenan Allen. We'll stop there with those five. If I like Michael Pittman Jr., you've always loved George Pickens. Talk to me about him.
Well, this is a year to love George Pickens. I think that he's proven himself that he's going to be one of the better wide receivers out there. We still need the consistency out of him, and we'll see if the new coaching staff is going to be able to get that out of him. But there's nobody else to throw the ball to. You know, like I talked about Pat Freiermuth on our tight ends ranking show as a tight end too. But the wide receiver too right now, it's Van Jefferson and Roman Wilson. I mean, cut me a break here. Like, and the offense is perfect. We're talking play action, post routes, and sideline passes to George Pickens. Like, to me, that's exactly how he wins. So does he have to kind of smooth out the edges to be like a legit number one wide receiver, 140 targets? Yes, but this is the time of the career when players do that. And I think that just going back to Georgia and what I've seen from it, the flashes are like very real. Like that 180-yard touchdown or whatever he had, that dude was moving. And he's like 6'3 and can jump out of the gym. So not many guys look like George Pickens out there. And I think this is like the perfect offense, lack of weapons around him for him to have a lot of boom weeks this season.
As weird as it sounds, I think Russell Wilson can continue to be bad at football and George Pickens to be a good value at this spot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Who else is the ball going to?
I don't want to keep bringing this point up, but just to walk down narrative street a little bit, I don't know if you watched any of like any piece of content that CJ Stroud has done this offseason. He just always talks about Tank Dell. He just always talks about Tank Dell all the time. And they're like best buddies, you know? Mm-hmm. And even in games when it was Nico Collins and Tank Dell, Tank Dell had better performances. They both had their fair share, but he had better performances in some of those. So maybe my response to that is I'll just keep drafting Tank Dell where he's going in drafts right now, if he's third of this list.
The injury concerns me. It's the same injury that Tony Pollard suffered and the same time of year. So he has to overcome that. So that's going to be the difference between Tank Dell and Nico Collins. And also just curious,
it's a pretty sizable gap, I will say. And he's already moving. He's already exercising. He's already doing all that stuff.
But Pollard was too at the same time, and then it didn't matter.
Wide receiver 15 for Nico, wide receiver 17 for Stephon Diggs, and Tank Dell is wide receiver 25. So I'm going to keep drafting Tank Dell and feeling good about it. Okay, let's close out this tier with Marquise Hollywood-Brown, now in Kansas City, Terry McLaurin, Calvin Ridley, and Ladd McConkey. Who do you want to talk about?
Let's talk about the Chiefs, you know, and this is going to be, here's my thought process on how to rank these guys. Who's the best football player? And to me, this year, Marquise Brown is the best football player aside from Travis Kelce in the wide receiver group. And then it's Xavier Worthy, and then it's Rashee Rice.
Wow.
Rashee Rice, he's solid, like rock solid slot player, gets role manufactured player touches. Yeah. But like, is he a true number one wide receiver? I don't think that anyone should feel confident with that. Of course, he was going to have monster numbers last year when nobody else was able to catch the football. And he has Patrick Mahomes as a quarterback. Like, now it's a totally different ball game. Try to carry over this targets per route run, yards per route run, when you're dealing with actual guys that know how to play some football. And Marquise Brown, he's been in and out of the lineup. But when Marquise Brown is like healthy, to me, he looks pretty damn good, especially in this type of offense. There'll be a couple manufactured touches for him. But he was missed downfield repeatedly last year in Arizona. And obviously, Patrick Mahomes is one of the best deep ball throwers in the game. So if those high variance deep targets hit for Marquise Brown, which we should expect, like, he has the opportunity to be like a boom bust wide receiver three. And for my money, I think that Marquise Brown, who is a first round pick, has been in many different offenses, $10 million this year, all the incentives you're talking about to hit free agency next year. To me, he's just a better football player than Rashee Rice. And I know that Rashee Rice had way better numbers than Marquise Brown's ever had, but the context around the Chiefs offense last year and who he was competing with is totally different now.
I also think if Rashee Rice is suspended for 4, 6, 8 games, we could see Marquise Brown inherit a bunch of the Rashee Rice area of the targets in terms of drags in terms of crossing routes and run after catch, that stuff. I think that's definitely in the realm of possibility.
Yep.
This is why you need to be drafting right now on Underdog Fantasy. Ladd McConkey is going as wide receiver 45 at the moment. Smash it all day. Ladd McConkey. I want people to think back to how good the Michigan offense was, how people are hyping up Roman Wilson partially because of the stats he accumulated, and then just inherit and shove that in the direction of Ladd McConkey with a team that's going to be throwing way more often than Michigan did. We saw some speed motion into stacks, that fly motion, the sharp motion, whatever you want to call it, with Roman Wilson doing it. Yep. And now we get it with a 4.39 wide receiver in Ladd McConkey, who is super crisp, who can do it from outside, who can do it from the inside, and who, to me, is also going to have cavities created for him because of the likes of Quentin Johnson and Josh Palmer running down the field. So I already think Ladd McConkey is the top pass catcher on this Chargers team. Drafted him as a starter. Go watch our Dynasty Rankings video. And him lasting right now to wide receiver 45, that might even out Hayden at like wide receiver 35 in a couple weeks.
Definitely. I think that's the path he's going to be on. And what's cool about Ladd McConkey is he can run vertical routes from the perimeter, and then he can also just absolutely route you up in the slot, option routes, slant routes, all that type of stuff. So whatever like the number one read is on the play, they can make Ladd McConkey that based off of how he was used at Georgia. So there's a familiarity with Georgia offense, what their offense is going to look like with the Chargers and stuff. And I think that's why they really valued Ladd McConkey in the top of the second round.
And look, I don't think he's a perfect prospect. I think he's quite bad on contact going up for routes in terms of like his launch pattern per se.
Tiny. Yeah.
Yeah. But other than that, if everything's on the floor, he's pretty dang good. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's go to the fifth tier, and we'll kick things off with Brian Thomas Jr., Xavier Worthy, Rome Odunze, three straight rookies. And then we'll throw some second-year players in there, Hayden. Yeah. Zay Flowers, Rashee Rice, and Jaden Reed. Who do you want to talk about this group? I mean, maybe a conversation on Rome Odunze for the Bears wide receivers in totality would be wise.
Yeah, I love Rome Odunze. Everyone does. But I think we have to be realistic with what the production can be when you have Keenan Allen and DJ Moore ahead of them with a rookie quarterback, the best rookie quarterback I've seen in the best environment, but it's hard to be the third wide receiver on your team. And then maybe there's a chance he leapfrogs Keenan Allen or DJ Moore immediately, but that would be asking for a lot. And if you think I'm crazy, then you can go over to the Underdog Pick'em Lobby because it's set at 750 receiving yards, 4.5 touchdowns. Like, I want to love Rome Odunze, but he's better than the JSN conversation, but it's a similar type of dynamic when you're competing with two stud wide receivers already in the room.
I think people are going to get very angry at your Zay Flowers ranking, being drafted as wide receiver 26. I think he did show some flashes of being the go-to pass catcher on the team, but I don't know if he fits like primary wide receiver one status. It's like this weird gray area I think we're in at the moment. Mm-hmm. Like, I think the Ravens are at their best right now, still being like a distribution team rather than primary, secondary, yada, 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 if that makes sense. Yep. But Zay Flowers is one of those players that like in year two, especially if he wins more consistently in the intermediate and downfield portions of the game, could elevate for multiple tiers here.
I saw the same thing. I just think that he lacks like true number one wide receiver traits. And I think that he's best as a number two. He didn't have Mark Andrews for a large chunk of the season last year. The offensive line is worse. Now they have Derrick Henry. So we'll see what the offense, if it's going to be equally as constructed as it was last year. Everything kind of broke Zay Flowers' way last year to have a huge fantasy season. And he really kind of let us down for a lot. There's a lot of weeks where consensus rankings was like wide receiver two, and then he would bust. So I agree with you. I think that he's kind of this in this gray area. Is he a two? Is he a one? I think he's definitely a two. And I also think the Ravens, they're one of these teams every single year. They're going to add somebody in August. They're going to add two veterans in August. I think that they're one of these teams, whether it's Chris Godwin on the trade market, Odell Beckham comes back, who knows what it's going to be. But I do think that the Ravens could use another pass catcher, and I would not rule out a Tyler Boyd, something like that, coming in there.
Jaden Reed, too, for a team that we love their passing game so much, and the first one's going as wide receiver 34, really speaks to almost how even their talents are. Mm-hmm. Even though many of them are quite different. And it just makes me want to get whichever one is like still on the board at some time, because right. I know they're going to have a really good week.
I had some good Jaden Reed notes here. In the playoffs, he ran around on 50% of dropbacks and 72% of dropbacks. And why that's important is obviously it's the playoffs. They're trying to play their best guys. But that's when Christian Watson came back. And that's when Dontayvion Wicks was becoming more than just the no-namer that no one had any idea what to do with. Luke Musgrave came back in that. So they were running more two tight end sets. So all of a sudden, it's going to be a little bit of a rotation in Green Bay. Jaden Reed, to me, is the best of them all. But he also ran really hot with touchdowns. He scored 2.4 more touchdowns than his usage would indicate. He also added 2 rushing touchdowns on top of that. So he ran really hot in the touchdown department. And all of a sudden, there's going to be the Luke Musgraves, Christian Watsons, Bo Melton came out of nowhere. There's a lot of dudes to kind of feed over there.
Deontay Johnson, Cortland Sutton, and Jordan Addison close out this tier. It was on my radar that Deontay Johnson, after like the first OTAs, said that, oh yeah, Dave Canales has already told me that I'm the X wide receiver on this team, that I'm going to be like the primary read on a whole bunch of routes, which again makes sense to me. That is Mike Evans-esque, as we saw during the Tampa Bay days. And while Xavier Leggett does have the size and the athleticism to be the wide receiver one or the X on the team, I think early on they're going to keep him as a role player. They're going to utilize him in just certain areas where his strengths shine and then ask him to develop off of that. And, you know, this is a one-year contract, Deontay Johnson, who's looking to get money this summer or next summer, I should say. Mm-hmm. And so I'm intrigued by Deontay Johnson.
I think there's a little bit of a tier kind of after Deontay. I'm with you. He's just way more prepared to be the X receiver than Leggett is. Real quick, just because I have Sutton and Jordan Addison right next to each other, we'll probably do a full show on regression candidates and stuff. But last year, Jordan Addison and Cortland Sutton, they scored like four more touchdowns than they were supposed to based off their usage. There's a couple freaky plays that got Jordan Addison loose last year. Obviously, Jordan Addison also benefited from Justin Jefferson missing most of the season out there. So I love Jordan Addison, USC guy myself, but I'm not copy pasting what he did last year because there were some fluky numbers with that. And same thing with Cortland Sutton, who caught a million 40-yard touchdowns in contested situations. He's good though. Like, he's good at them, but not as good as he was last year.
And I don't think Bo Nix is just going to heave it like Russell Wilson did last year. There's going to be like more semblance of an offense too, which could balance everything out versus just maybe like outside the number vertical shots. Anyways, we have a whole summer to talk about that. Okay, next tier. Tier 6, DeAndre Hopkins, Christian Watson, Chris Godwin, Keon Coleman, and Jaxon Smith-Njigba. Again, different paths they took to get to this tier 6.
Yeah.
Which of these names might you want to talk about? Or should we just keep going and throw out a few more?
Throw out a couple more here. Let's see who speaks to me.
Okay. Mike Williams, also up next. Tyler Lockett, and we'll close up this tier with maybe the conversation, which is Jameson Williams.
Okay, the last two names are more fun to me, just because Tyler Lockett is also, if we're talking about DK Metcalf and Geno Smith going to benefit, Tyler Lockett winning downfield in this offense, the Ryan Grubb offense,
or Jalen Polk.
I mean, I think it's going to be more Jalen Polk. Inside-outside versatility, huge A-dot. Totally. Win at contested situations when you have to, but also has the speed to win downfield and create some separation. Yeah, Tyler Lockett's in a fantastic situation. I know he's approaching the age cliff. We should expect JSN to look much better in this second year. Maybe JSN is also somebody that can hit on a couple more seam routes and not just these little shallow crossers that he was running. But Tyler Lockett in this vertical-based offense, I do think is going to be like classic veteran best ball opportunities. And then we should definitely talk about Jameson Williams.
Yeah, I mean, this is a make or break season for Jameson Williams. You know, did not bring back Josh Reynolds, which I was pretty shocked by. Same. They didn't bring back any other boundary outside wide receiver. So it's literally Jameson Williams versus Donovan Peoples-Jones as the two wide receiver set player to Amon-Ra St. Brown. Now, I still believe the top target guys are going to be, and we're just talking about wide receivers and tight ends here, Amon-Ra St. Brown and Sam Laporta. But like, if Jameson Williams can make his mark in two wide receiver sets, which they seemingly have hinted at all offseason, that's a huge jump from what we've seen so far with him. But that shows a ton of trust from Ben Johnson, Brad Holmes, and Dan Campbell, because they didn't even bring in like bottom rung free agent to even give him competition here.
I do wonder if they're another one of these teams that adds somebody Juwan Jennings, something like that, later on, just to get another big body, a blocker type in there. But even if that is the case, it's not going to be somebody as good as Josh Reynolds was last year. And the last game Jameson played in that conference championship, put up 19.7 half PPR points. So he ended on a good note. He's kind of progressing, earning more trust in this offense. And just like truthfully speaking, when he was coming out at Alabama, I thought there was a chance that he was going to be a special, special wide receiver. Has not proven to be that, but this is what year three. This is the time to prove it. So I think that this is like the last of the upside you can imagine type of tier.
Let's close things out with just a bunch of names: Curtis Samuel, Jahan Dotson, Brandon Cooks, Dontavian Wicks, and Adonai Mitchell. Last year, I claimed Michael Pittman Jr. as my post-hype sleeper. This year's Jahan Dotson.
I've got a number to back that up. Last year, really low average depth of target. And all of a sudden, you get Jaden Daniels in there who wants to throw vertical routes from the slot. That's what Jahan Dotson could do. So like, there's a chance that his average depth target goes way up, which would be huge for him. Obviously not dealing with Curtis Samuel, who was manufactured a bunch of touches. We'll see if Luke McCaffrey can do that. Most likely he's not going to be able to do that. So yeah, this is another make it or break it year for Jahan Dotson, because last year was very underwhelming after what was a pretty rock solid rookie campaign.
I am stunned to see Tyler Lockett, after what we just talked about, being ranked after all these dudes, along with like Romeo Dobbs. Excuse me, he's going right before Romeo Dobbs and Jacoby Myers and Khalil Shakir. He's the wide receiver 53.
I can make an argument he should go up ahead of like Chris Godwin, who, by the way, Chris Godwin, low-key trade candidate. Just looking at his contract right now, like the Bucks, you always reference effective cap space. Yeah. They're at like exactly break-even for this year. This is the final year of his deal. They've already paid Mike Evans long-term. They've drafted Jalen McMillan, who's a slot guy that can replace Chris Godwin in the third round this year. They got a hit out of Trey Palmer on day three the year prior. So Chris Godwin, after June 1st, they can trade him and save some money there. So we'll see if Chris Godwin is one of these guys that gets moved.
I know we're going to do after, by the way, Hayden and I are about to take, plus Weaves, 2 weeks off after this. Just for the record, we shout warned you. Okay, shout out us. I think we deserve it. I'm moving. I know we're going to do almost immediately once we get back our favorite sleepers at each position, because yes, you all love those videos. Here's a little tease, okay? My wide receiver sleeper, one of them, DeMarcus Robinson.
Oh, yeah.
LA Rams.
Oh, yeah.
Where he is being drafted right now, 205 overall, wide receiver 85, is ludicrous. Do people watch ball? Did they realize in the second half of last season, he took over as this team's wide receiver three and was a primary read inside of the red zone, inside of the 10-yard line for this team? Did a lot of Odell Beckham-like things in that area for Matthew Stafford. Yep. They brought him back. Tutu Atwell was in the rearview mirror, you know? Yep. DeMarcus Robinson, wide receiver 85, 205, getting there right now. I want to see that change by like 30 spots by the time we pick things back up in 2 weeks.
I have him in the 150s overall. I'm way ahead. He's like the classic this year's Zay Jones. Got paid, number three wide receiver, in a decent offense. Downfield targets. Like, DeMarcus Robinson is classic Zay Jones material. So early, we found a guy, Underdog Football Show, early in the offseason. But DeMarcus Robinson, let's get after it. What can go wrong?
The only way I'll know that you all listen and watch is if, again, when we return in 2 weeks, that's a three-round difference in his ADP, because I think it deserves it. All right, that does it. Go and watch our running backs, quarterbacks, tight end rankings videos, even Dynasty for your rookie drafts out there. Shout out to all of you for supporting us during NFL draft free agency season. I mean, yep, just set record numbers on this channel. Most watched day ever, fourth most watched day ever. It was unreal stuff. So thank you. I mean, it's pretty amazing, not to reflect here too much, Aiden.
Yeah.
But a year ago at this time, I think we're at 48,000 subscribers, and now we're at 105,000.
Pretty sweet. This is huge credit to Weaves, who edits all of our stuff, makes us sound pretty smart as well. And if we didn't hit on all these guys, we have individual videos on our channel, and that's something that we keep prioritizing. So you can just always search a player name plus Underdog, and something will pop up. All the free agency moves, we have videos on those. We have all the rookies as well. So we didn't hit that many names this time around, but We got a bunch of stuff on the content. Just make sure to use the YouTube search button.
Yes. And we have 3 months of the summer. Okay.
Yeah.
Up the villa. We'll check out next time. See ya.